I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Mark Castle live at the Alabama State House today. Text line, except for you, mommy issues, 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program, we got Gerald Allen in the next hour. He's a lawmaker from Tuscaloosa, state senator. And then Donnie Chastain, also another lawmaker, but he's from the Wiregrass, Geneva County, to be specific. We'll talk high school athletic association, some other things going on, ed policy. That's coming up at the 11 o'clock hour. Joining us now, first time on the program, making his debut, and we're grateful for that. Hails from East Alabama, Calhoun County, I believe. Keith Kelly, state senator from Anniston. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and going to be a beautiful day in the legislature, at least for some.
Yeah, only because you only got like five more days left, right?
That's right. That's right. The countdown has started, and a lot of frantic activity right now. Everybody trying to push to try to get as many bills on the calendar that they've got as they can before the time runs out on us. So
we had a late night last night. It needs to look like that the rules change or something is inevitable here.
It's a very real possibility. I think there's a couple of things that have to be looked at. And, you know, you're right. Like yesterday was a long day, long night. Which goes with his territory sometimes. But, you know, overall, I think the biggest thing is trying to have the rules that are fairly applied to everyone. And while, you know, this is the end of my first term, you go back and look at, I remember what it was like in the early 2000s because I've been around here for a while.
Right.
And so it was some of the tactics and things that were done back then. Now, when they're used, all of a sudden people are saying unfair.
So, well, I don't remember Republicans doing this. No, I mean, my knowledge, I mean, it's, I wasn't as locked in on it as I am now. But I do remember Democrats steamrolling Republicans whenever they would try to do something like this, whenever the opportunity was presented itself.
Yeah, it was a lot more common than what a lot of people remember. One of the issues I think that you see a lot of times is you've got a lot of people here that have no recollection of those days.
Right.
And then you've got some of us that have been around during those days. And the shoe's just on the other foot now. You know, the Democrats had the supermajority for over 100 years, and now the Republicans do. And when the Democrats having control over that long a period of time, you had different factions that broke out and divisions and things of that nature. And so far, the Republicans, we haven't done that in our 16 years of supermajority.
Yeah, so it was just, I feel like it was inevitable. But you had your predecessor, Del Marsh, and then Greg Reed. Maybe not so much Marsh. I know early on after 2010, there was a little more of a aggressive approach, but there is of late, there's been a reluctance to really use the cloture option because once you do that, everything else is going to get kind of out of whack and things are going to hit that speed bump or hit a wall even.
Yeah. Once you start it, you just about have to keep it up unless, there's always negotiations that go on each day. And that's one of the things I get asked a lot is, why is it that you sometimes let the Democrats talk as long as y'all do on certain things, and especially when some of the conversation gets a little bit out of hand. But, many times when that's going on, there's other things being negotiated, letting them have their time to talk on that while we get some other things lined up. And it's just like anything else. You work some deals if you can and try to keep things moving.
And there tends to be a focus on what's being said on the floor. And it's not even the floor. It's just anywhere in this building, perhaps, while those speeches are going, that you see a lot of interaction. And that's, like you said, where the deal-making is done. You need to be watching kind of what's going on, not on the front stage sometimes.
That's right. You know, that's one of the things I tell visitors when they come and get in the gallery. If you look down on what's going on, it looks like mass chaos. You know, it looks like nobody was taught new manners and things like that. But what a lot of times it's negotiations going on a certain bill or for a certain vote or clarification on a bill that's coming up. And what I always do is I always tell the pages and some of the folks that come in that, you know, sometimes the conversation and the stalling that goes on certain bills, the filibuster on certain bills, a lot of times have nothing to do with that particular bill.
Right.
You know, it's something down, something down the
later
calendar.
Down the calendar. Or sometimes there's something on down the calendar that maybe you guys on the Republican side don't want, or somebody in the chamber doesn't want, and they are willing to allow the clock to run out early in the calendar sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, it's the old saying that politics is a lot like making sausage. If you saw it was made, you wouldn't eat the sausage. Well, politics is like that to a certain degree. And it's a lot of give and take. And, you know, many times people don't understand what's going on, but most of it, there's a method to the madness, I would say.
Let's talk about some of your bills. The one that comes up for me first here, this Ten Commandments just being on display at schools, it right. Seems like that should be easily done, but it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride.
It has been. That's a bill that Representative Gidley and I have worked on for several years. We've had a lot of help on that from different sources over the years. Honestly, in Alabama, it should be a given. It shouldn't be a question at all. And this particular legislation is basically just more or less a poster. It's slightly larger than a legal-sized piece of paper. And but you get into last year, we had public hearings on it, and some of the things that were being said, it really showed you what a lack of history education a lot of people have. When you go back and look at it, and that's the angle on this. We looked at lawsuits that have been had, what the results, the rulings were, the ones that were overturned. We looked at what other states were doing. And so it's been kind of a little bit of a chess match with the different lawsuits going on to figure out exactly what it needed to look like.
It was just an irrational theophobia, you know, and that's where the opposition, it's just having it on display in
that's
schools.
That's it.
That is a line in the sand that has been crossed. It's way too far. And I'm always amazed by these like freedom from religion types who just, you know, everything must be rejected and fought like the hill to die on.
Well, it is. But if you go back on the Ten Commandments, I mean, it just about all of the world's law is built on those fundamental values, and especially in the United States. And, you know, people want to play word games. But if you go back and you look, just like on this poster, it also has the Mayflower Compact on there, the Constitution quotes and things
like
that.
Magna Carta, yeah, just right.
So, you know, they want to try to hang their hat on separation from church and state, which is not in the Constitution, by the way. But it's not, you're not in there trying to establish a religion like, you know, like there was in England when our country was founded. But even our forefathers now acknowledged God, you know, and but it's not trying to make anybody a particular religion. And it just amazes me that anyone could be against a child being told, you shouldn't kill anybody. You shouldn't lie. You know, just common sense. But we do have some that feel that way.
Well, we do this. It seems like there's always some kind of Ten Commandments push in the legislature every quadrennium. But there's always a different angle of why, you know, why are we wasting time on this? Why aren't we doing this? But I think most people in the state senator really want that. I think, you know, this is government by the people, for the people, of the people, and they want in public education children exposed to these ideas.
Well, one of the things I think that if you go back and look at history, the Bible was actually what was used for teaching reading up, but I think it was to the 1920s or 30s. And so when you look at some of our founding fathers and the language that they spoke, you'll find how it kind of relates to the King James Version, maybe, right, the Bible. And so when that was taken out of schools, and then, you know, he had prayer taken out of the schools in the early 1960s, and look what's happened to our schools since that time.
I mean, you could say it's coincidence, but I don't think it is. It's just there has to be some kind of moral underpinning.
Yeah.
And you can't just you just do away with it. And it's like up to this bureaucracy to try to establish right and wrong. And how's that working out?
Well, you know, I remember a quote after one of the school shootings that Billy Graham's daughter said. She said, you're blaming God for those shootings happening in school, but you took God out of the schools. And, you know, when I first heard that's been several years ago, in response to a tragic incident, that really hit home with me. You know, I mean, you look at what the Bible teaches and what it says. I've always said, like a handbook for life.
Right.
And this Ten Commandments poster, it's not even inserting religion into anything. It's just telling you how we got our laws. But I don't think you can take God out of our society. That's who we are. I mean, you know, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, and in whatever beliefs you have that may vary, that's fine. You know, that's part of the laws we're built on, is that freedom.
Yeah, but there is this push to just eradicate it. You know, it's not just government. It's like they want it out of society altogether. Like, I could have discussions about religion on the show, and people get a little anxious about it. There is, you know, this push, this secular push. It's like in some places, and I don't think it's applicable to Alabama, generally speaking, but that, you know, it's just not polite to talk about faith and Christianity in such a way that you need to leave that should be done behind closed doors, young man. You know,
yeah.
I don't think that's a good approach to culture at all.
Well, you take, especially here in Alabama, you know, our faith goes to the core of who we are as a state in most cases. And I won't ever forget, I was going to speak to a large group. We had problems scheduling it because of my schedule, and when they could make it work, didn't quite work out for a while. And before I went out, the gentleman said, you know, I appreciate it if you didn't talk any God stuff, because I acknowledge, you know, most of the good things that happen to me is because of God. It's not me, it's him. And and I said, well, I can't hardly do that. He said, yeah, just, you know, you just need to be you. I said, well, that's part of who I am. I'm a child of God. And, you know, I don't, you know, people can believe what they want, but I know what I believe. I know what I stand for. And that shapes my opinions and my views on things. But, you know, you listen to people with different opinions and thoughts. And we did that on this legislation as well. And then you've got different interpretations on law. And yesterday, when the bill was on the floor, I read some comments from Blackstone, which is the founder of the laws of England, and what our laws are built on. And so it, I had a lot of comments of people about that had no idea that's where a lot of our laws came from. He's talking about natural law.
Right, right, right. And it's, but that's, as far as like an education curriculum, you need to know and understand those origins to know how we got to where we are. And I like try to explain that to people all the time, but it's even difficult for me to like really comprehend and you know, talk about, but there is a there's a linear path there from that point forward.
Right. Well, you know, in schools, we teach the theory of evolution, theory, I stress. So what is the harm in teaching some of the Bible things, whether they're taught in a matter of theory or literature or law, whatever the case may be? I think what we've tried to do in a lot in the education system is we've tunneled our children's views to try to put them in a box instead of allowing them the openness to think for themselves. And I think we're seeing that in a lot of college campuses as well.
Well, I mean, here you are, you're a state senator, and you talk about who you are and what's part of you and your faith is part of you. And I would imagine that a lot of your voters put you in this position because of your faith and that being your guiding principle. Well, you think about that, this entire body of the legislature, any legislative body, anybody in higher office who has voted because of that, the people need to understand, like, well, what is the impetus here that drove this, that drove you to vote for this person? And they're not really getting that. They're not really making that connection. But it's still, it's a reality in society that faith drives a lot of these conversations of public policy.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes to the core of who you are and what you stand for. A lot of those views are shaped when you're a very small child. I was blessed to have great parents that had me in church at a young age. I became a Christian at a young age. And my family fell apart later on. And so great parents just had trouble living together. And so one of the things that carried me through those dark times as a kid in the fifth grade was what I had learned in school and in Bible school and church and those foundational things, because it was really tough on me. And so those experiences and those things that you're taught helped to shape the decisions that you make. And I had a lot of friends whenever we hit the teenage years that maybe went the wrong direction, got involved in some things they shouldn't have got involved in. And because of those teachings and things, I went the other way. And so it's only by the grace of God, but those teachings and things I've learned helped me. But then we had the ability to free think. So we weren't told, you need to believe this. We're saying, consider this, and then you're allowed to your mind expand.
You come to your own conclusions.
Right.
Essentially,
right.
Yeah.
There's a saying that I've kind of lived by, and I came up with it many years ago, and I do a lot of speeches around the state or in areas talking about leadership and those types of things. And it's dream big, take action, and keep moving forward. And my whole thought process on that is if you don't dream big, big things never happen. And then if you don't take action on those dreams, they remain just dreams. And then you've got to keep moving forward because you're going to make mistakes. You know, you're going to get knocked down. You got to keep getting up. And that has a lot to do with the decisions I make.
Well, Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. But thanks for stopping by, and maybe we'll get you on again soon.
I greatly appreciate it. Hope y'all have a great day.
Thank you. State Senator Keith Kelly here on the program with us. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.